suggest that I speak on Sri Advaita Acharya's appearance day today. And not at all qualified nor prepared for this class, so please bear with me. It was a last minute entry. But we'll try to say something and pray that the devotees are satisfied. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya 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 Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. So this verse is from chapter 6 of Adi Lila. It's entitled The Glories of Sri Advaita Acharya, and this is text number 5. Advaitam harinam advaitad acharyam bhakta samsanam.
Advaitam harinam advaitad acharyam bhakti samsanam.
Bhakta avataram ishvatam advaita acharyam asraye. Because he is non different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotional devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. So there's no purports for some many verses, so we'll read a few more. Sri Advaita is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita is his direct incarnation. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy, he creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of the Purusha, and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. So here's a purport. Sri Advaita Acharya, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living beings from the conditional life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Sri Advaita is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same, because the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation of Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is a supplying agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about the glories of him becomes glorified himself, for such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. End of purport. Om Agyan Tad Kija. Move the board back. So today is a very auspicious day. It's auspicious in that to honor the Lord is the perfection of one's spiritual practice, to honor the Lord, to honor the Lord's devotees. So today we're honoring Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. He is one of the Panchatattva. Srila Prabhupada mentions that these five make up the Absolute Truth. Panchatattva tukam krishnam bhakta rupa sarupakam bhakta avatar bhakta kyam namami bhakti shaktikam. That the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, the Lord's expansion, the Lord's incarnation, the Lord's energy, and the pure devotee make up the Panchatattva. So this is the Absolute Truth and five features. God is a person, and God is one. But although he can manifest himself in innumerable forms, all being non-different from himself. So Prabhupada makes a particular interesting statement regarding the Panchatattva in relationship to what we say impersonalist philosophy. We say that God is not a person. He says not only is he a person, but he's five persons. He's five persons. So therefore, we make a bold statement saying, no, he's not just one, he's five. And this is the proof right here, the Panchatattva. Sri Advaita Acharya, he is a combination of two aspects of the Absolute Truth. Sada Shiva, or the original Shiva, who has his planet in the spiritual world. There are Shivas in every universe, as there are Brahma for every particular universe. There is also Shiva in every universe. But there is the original Shiva, that is the Sada Shiva, who has his planet within the Vaikuntha realm. So that living being, or that aspect of the Supreme Lord, combined with the beginning of the manifestations of the Lord's incarnations that bring about the material world, which is Mahavishnu, have come together in one form as Sri Advaita Acharya. So Sri Advaita Acharya is the Absolute Truth. He is non-different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore he is called Advaita. Advaita means one. He is the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is called Acharya, or one who propagates the cult of pure devotional service. So that is the meaning of his name, Advaita Acharya. He appeared Some people say in Shantipur, others say in another place. He was actually 52 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared in the womb of a lady named Navi Devi. That was his mother. His father's name was Kuvera Pandit. And it was similar to the joy that was felt by Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra when Lord Chaitanya appeared. He appeared just like, as it says, the full moon appears within the autumn sky. At that time, the autumn sky and the full moon make a very beautiful and very auspicious combination to bring about happiness and joy to everyone. So it's described by the great acharyas that his appearance was like the beautiful full moon within the autumn sky. He was given the name Mangala. Also, he was also given another name because he had beautiful lotus eyes, Kamalaksha. So he was given two names, but actually Mangala was his name given at birth. There are many wonderful stories, pastimes related to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he was a grihastha. He was a perfect householder. He was the ideal householder in the sense that when Srila Prabhupada was asked on one morning walk by one grihastha who had just recently got married, the man asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is the first duty of a grihastha?" First duty. Prabhupada stopped the walk to answer the question. Many times he would continue walking, but this time he stopped. He said, "The first duty of the grihastha is to, before you take your meals, you go outside and you call. Are there any hungry people? Are there any hungry persons?" Three times. And then, if no one comes, then you can take your meals. Someone comes, you feed them first. So, the devotee was somewhat thinking that Prabhupada didn't really understand my question, because the walk continued. And again, in a very humble but very polite way, the man asked the question again. And Prabhupada was very patient, stopped the walk again, and repeated the entire answer. That if, so before you take your meals, you go outside and you call three times, are there any hungry persons? No one comes, you can take your meals. So then Prabhupada began the walk again. So this went on, and then the man was still not convinced that somehow or other Prabhupada just doesn't understand the nature of my question. He's given me another aspect, but this I want to know what is the most foremost duty of a... So again he asked the question. And Prabhupada, sometimes he would become a little, what we say, strong when persons didn't really understand his answers. But this time Prabhupada was not. He was very patient and answered the question again from the beginning. Same way. And finally the man got the idea that this is the answer. So it says that Sri Advaita Acharya was ideal in that way, that because he was the perfect householder, he would perform this activity and call anyone in the area for food before he offered, before he took his food within his home. He had two wives, Sri Devi and Sita Devi. He had six sons. Achyutananda was his oldest. It was Krishna Das and Gopal. He also had three other sons, Balaram Jagadish, and one more. I can't remember the name. It says that three of the sons were, how we say, a credit to the family, and three of the sons were asara. Asara means useless. In the sense that they deviated from the teachings of pure devotional service and took up the path of impersonalism. So there are many who follow, who claim to be followers of Advaita Acharya, who follow the impersonal path. Although he was the Supreme Lord himself and was teaching the path of pure devotional service. Still people claim to be followers of Advaita Acharya who are impersonalists. So Prabhupada gives a nice interesting statement in this regard. The three sons who followed the father got the mercy of the father and became blessed by the father, and therefore attained all auspiciousness. And the three who deviated were asara, or useless, and therefore were rejected by the father. Prabhupada uses that comparison in the disappearance of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. One of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's desires at the very last days of his life is that he said, please set up a governing body commission to manage the affairs of the Gaudiya Math after I leave. But his followers didn't do that, many of them. And when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj left, there was a strong and very destructive fight within the Gaudiya Math for who was going to become the next Acharya. And because of that, it said the preaching stopped. Prabhupada goes into details in some cases, and he describes that the litigation in the courts went on for 40 years, and still there is no decision. They actually went to court. Who is the next Acharya? But Prabhupada said, they deviated from the instructions of the spiritual master, and therefore they became asara. This is a really important point to understand. This is where one's success or one's failure in devotional service is situated upon. How closely and how enthusiastically one understands and follows the instructions of the spiritual master. That is the basis of success in spiritual life. Only that. When one becomes, when we say, fixed on executing the orders of the spiritual master, one becomes empowered to act on behalf of the spiritual master. So, we say every day in our prayers, Yashyat Prashada, Bhagavat Prashado, Yashyat Prashadan, Nagatikutopi. That only by the mercy of the spiritual master can one make advancement in devotional service. And one who rejects the instructions of the spiritual master, or one who takes the instructions of the spiritual master and picks and chooses according to what is suitable or unsuitable by one's concocted ideas, also becomes deviated from the instructions of the spiritual master. So this is the fundamental principle of success in devotional service. That one should carefully and understand and try to follow with all one's heart and soul the instructions of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada makes this distinction within the Gaudiya Math that they deviated and therefore they have become, the word is asara. He uses the word over and over again in one purports in this particular chapter here with Advaita Acharya. Asara, they have become useless. And therefore the preaching stopped. The preaching stopped. Bhaktisiddhanta didn't want another Acharya. Same night, Srila Prabhupada set up the society in the same way. And Prabhupada was really keen on establishing the governing body commission before he left. He established it in the year 1970, when he was only preaching for a couple of years. So Prabhupada did it in a very early, we might not say early, but he did it in the very beginning of his preaching, because he knew that is the nature of when the acharya leaves and things go down. Things go down. The tendency is things go down. So Advaita Acharya. There are many wonderful pastimes about Advaita Acharya. One time, there was a servant of Advaita Acharya. I can't remember his name. Who remembers his name? Personal servant of Advaita Acharya? Kamalakanta Vishvasu, right? He wrote a letter, or note, saying that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he has a debt of 300 rupees to the king. The note got back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the note, he was really disturbed, angry. And he chastised Kamalakanta Vishvasu, not directly because he wasn't there, but he chastised him. He said, how is it possible that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is correct. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become a debtor? This is offensive. The Lord was really disturbed. So Kamalakanta Vishvasu somehow or other got a different kind of mercy. So it's an interesting statement. This, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, cannot be a debtor to anyone. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he decided to go to Vrindavan. Lord Nityananda accompanied him and carried his danda. That's a beautiful story. But somehow or other, Lord Nityananda led him in a different direction. Instead of going to Vrindavan, they wound up in the area of Shantipur. And when Lord Chaitanya arrived in the area of Shantipur, or which he thought was Vrindavan, he saw the beautiful Ganga. And he was thinking it was the Jamuna, so he took his bath. And then while he was taking his bath, Sri Advaita Acharya came along in a boat with some dried clothes for Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya saw Advaita Acharya, he said, Advaita Acharya, how is it? You're here in Vrindavan. And Advaita Acharya said, this is actually Shantipur, but wherever you are is Vrindavan, so it's Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya was bathing, and Advaita Acharya said, this is the Ganga in Shantipur. But actually, the Ganga in the Shantipur also mixed with Vrindavan, with the Jamuna there. So on the western side is the Jamuna, and on the eastern side is the Ganga. But since you're bathing on the western side, therefore you're bathing in the Jamuna. And then Advaita Acharya arranged to give some dry clothes, and then he invited Lord Chaitanya to come to his home. And he prepared an enormous, it's described in great detail in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the feast that was prepared by Advaita Acharya in order to honor Lord Chaitanya. Such an amazing feat. And the preparations are described. And Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that we should note these preparations and produce a cookbook based on these preparations. And I think that was done by Her Grace Jamuna. She took that instruction to heart and prepared that Jamuna's cookbook, the famous Jamuna's cookbook, which was glorified all over America as the best cookbook of the war. She won the best cookbook award for that particular year in the United States of America. So that's pretty prestigious for a devotee to win that type of honor. And there's so many entries. So many entries. So the feat is described in detail, and Lord Chaitanya came. And he honored Prasadam along with Lord Nityananda. But Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a sannyasi. You have prepared all these opulent foodstuffs. I can't eat that. Just give me some boiled vegetables. And Advaita Acharya said, every day in Jagannath Puri, you're eating 56 types of curries and sabjis and sweets and savories. So this is actually, it's just a small morsel for you. This is nothing. And so he divided it into three plates, made three different, and then he offered some to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda was traveling also. And when he saw the feast, he said to Advaita Acharya, you know, I've been traveling for days and I've been fasting. And now I come looking for some prasadam. And this is, I can see what is here is that I would have to continue to fast. This is not even enough to even give my belly a little relief. So he took some of the rice that was there and he threw it on the ground, apparently in some kind of transcendental anger. And the rice bounced up and stuck to the leg of Advaita Acharya, and he started to dance in ecstasy. And then there was a nice exchange between Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda. And it says that their discussion was that they were criticizing each other. And he called Lord Nityananda a reject Paramahansa. And he said, just don't make a fuss, just sit down and eat your food. Now, in the purport, as this transcendental argument was going on, Prabhupada says, in this case, one should not take sides. If one sides with one against the other, or one sides with the other against the other one, one will be destroyed in their spiritual life. So this apparent, what it seems like to be a very intense, angry discussion between two great souls is actually a transcendental exchange of love going on in a different mood. That's a beautiful story. Lord Chaitanya stayed in the house of Advaita Acharya for a month. Then after a month he left. Or he appeared to go. He was on his way to go to Jagannath Puri. His mother came to see him at that time and he agreed to stay in Jagannath Puri in order to please his mother and to allow the devotees to be within a certain range so they could come and visit him. For Lord Chaitanya to take sannyas and give up the association of his devotees was very difficult. And for the devotees, it was not difficult. It was like death. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to satisfy the devotees. So he agreed to reside in Jagannath Puri. As Mother Sachi said, that Navadvipa and Jagannath Puri are like two rooms in the same house. So please reside where we can come and still get your association. So in order to please his mother and to the devotees, the Lord took up his residence in Jagannath Puri as a sannyasi. So he left after being there for a month, and he was going. But Advaita Acharya could not bear the separation of Lord Chaitanya, so he ran after him and said, my dear Lord, please stay for at least 3 or 5 more days. And on the plea of Advaitacharya's love, he turned around and came back and stayed for another 7 days, I believe it was. And it says that all throughout the day, they were discussing Harikatha, and in the evening they were having Hari Kirtan. And Prabhupada writes in one purport that in the house of Advaitacharya, only three things went on: Harikatha, Hari Kirtan, and Hari Puja. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport that in the purport it says that these are the three activities of devotional service: Harikatha, Hari Kirtan, and Hari Puja. Nothing else. These make the essence of devotional service. To glorify the Lord by chanting His name in Kirtan, to glorify the Lord by discussing His transcendental activities and pastimes, and to glorify the Lord by worshipping the Lord in various ways. And this makes up, Prabhupada says, the entire process of Krishna consciousness. These three things: Harikatha, Hari Kirtan, and Hari Puja. So if someone asks you, what is devotional service about? You just tell them these three things. That's all. To always remember the Lord by chanting the Lord's glories, remember the Lord by chanting the Lord's name, and by worshipping the Lord in various ways. This is the essence, or the, not essence, this is the entirety of devotional service. Chanting, dancing, and associating with devotees in that mood, and taking Krishna prasadam. Chanting, dancing, feasting, and we add one more philosophy. That's it. One day someone, Prabhupada was saying that the entire process of devotional service is made up of chanting, dancing, and feasting. And devotees in those days would sometimes become a little concerned that Prabhupada was overgeneralizing when he would say things. So one devotee said, no, actually, Srila Prabhupada, we have so many things to do. We have so much work we have to do. Prabhupada said, there's no work. It's just chanting, dancing, and feasting. But Prabhupada, we have to do this, we have to do that. We have Prabhupada said, it's all chanting, dancing, and feasting. That's all. In other words, when you see everything in relationship to that mood of glorifying the Lord, then it becomes the process of devotional service. So any other activities that we may perform is actually situated within the context of these three activities. In the sense that, as one time Prabhupada was, he was giving his dictaphone, he was making his translations, and he said, this is also chanting. This is also chanting. So it's all fits within that category. One, we see everything as a glorification of the Lord, then the process of devotional service becomes, what we say, happy. If we see it as work, we see it as difficulties, then it becomes like that. It's an expression of our devotion in order to honor and glorify the Lord. So whatever activities we perform should be within that mood of glorifying the Lord. Whether it's accounting or cooking or cleaning or driving, whatever it is, it's a service to the Lord, it's a service to the Lord's devotees. So it's done in that mood of glorifying the Lord and serving the Vaishnavas. Advaitacharya would like to glorify the Lord in different ways. One day, this is in the story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya never liked the devotees to chant his name. But Advaitacharya was always eager to glorify the Lord by chanting. But sometimes he would like to chant in Lord Chaitanya's name. So one day he became so enthusiastic and so powerful. He said, today we're going to have Gaur Kirtan. We're going to have Gaur Kirtan. We're going to be chanting Lord Chaitanya's name. Now the devotees were a little apprehensive and nervous because they knew Lord Chaitanya didn't like it. Lord Chaitanya wasn't there. So, but Advaita Acharya became so powerful in his enthusiasm that he just said, let's chant Lord Chaitanya's names. They were chanting Gauranga, Jai Sachi Nandana. They were just chanting and chanting. So he got everyone to chant. So they began the kirtan. At first the devotees were a little apprehensive, but Advaita Acharya just kept pushing him on and pushing him on. Finally the kirtan got going. And Lord Chaitanya from a distance, he heard the kirtan. And he started to come. Oh, there's a kirtan going on. And then he got closer and closer and closer. And then he started to hear what they were chanting. He says, they're not chanting Krishna's name. What's... And then he just looked, turned around, went back to his place where he stayed, closed the door, locked it, and went to sleep. So, a little while later, actually when Lord Chaitanya was coming, and Advaita could see him coming, Advaita Acharya was actually encouraging the devotees to chant even more enthusiastically. But Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything, but he internally he was actually pleased. But externally, playing the role of a devotee, he appeared to be very unhappy. So he went to his quarters and laid down and locked the door. A little while later, Srivas Thakur came. Srivas came. Lord Chaitanya got up. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, what are the devotees doing? Why are they chanting Krishna's name? And Srivas, he took his hand and went like this. They were outside. He took his hand and went like this. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? He said, I'm covering the sun with my hand. So you can't do that. You can't cover the sun with your hand. Similarly, you cannot hide yourself from us. You cannot hide yourself from us. So, in this way and Lord Chaitanya was pleased. So he showed that actually that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That he, Lord Radha Rani, Srimati Radha Rani, the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with the Supreme Lord Himself, the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, have combined to become one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The incarnation of Mahaprabhu is the perfection of all incarnations. He is not an incarnation. He is none different than Krishna Himself. But He appears within the bhav of His own internal energy, Srimati Radharani, in order to taste the love of Radharani for Himself, to experience that love, and to understand the happiness of that love, and to also to understand what is the glories of Himself as experienced through His own internal energy, Srimati Radharani. It says that Lord Chaitanya appeared for three internal and three external. The three internal reasons we just mentioned, to understand Radharani's love for him, the happiness you experience in that love, and his own glories through her eyes. And the three external reasons, as it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham srijamyaham pavitranayam sadunam vinasanaya chaduskritam dharma samstarpanartayam sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever there's a decline in religious principles, Krishna says, I come. When there's a rise of irreligion, in order to give pleasure to devotees, to reestablish religious principles, and to destroy the miscreants. So that's one of the external reasons. The other external reason was to propagate the cult of Harinam Sankirtan. But the third reason is that Advaitacharya, when he saw the materialistic consciousness of the people of Navadvipa at the time. Navadvipa was a great city of intellectualism. It was the bastion of academia, practically in the whole world. People would travel to Navadvipa for the best of all educations. But a lot of the educations were, how we say, smarta or impersonalist, brahmana. In other words, it wasn't pure devotional service. So people were highly educated, many of the scriptures, but not in pure devotional service. So very little of the population was actually engaged in devotional service. And so Advaitacharya, he was there, and he would become very unhappy. That's the nature of the Lord, that's the nature of the Lord's pure devotee. When they see the population of the world wasting their lives in pursuits of temporary materialistic things that simply lead to unhappiness and frustration and cause one to take birth again, they become compassionate and concerned. So Advaitacharya, he was thinking, these people are so materialistic, there's what can we do? He was thinking, let me just take out my chakra and destroy them all. But then he thought, no, that's not it. That's not the way. This is called anger, anger in love. But being Shiva, he has that mood. So he decided that it is time for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear in his beautiful incarnation in order to show mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. So he went to the banks of the river Ganga every day, and with sandalwood paste and with tulsi leaves, he would offer beautiful pujas to his Shalagram Shila, calling really, really, really loudly. It's explained in that he was calling in his voice as loud that that voice would shake the whole universe. Can you imagine Advaitacharya calling at the pitch of his all of his energy for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come? So he was doing that regularly. And Lord Chaitanya, when later on and when he did appear, he said, I have come because Advaita has called me. I have come because Advaita has called me. So and that was his compassion to see the, and that's the nature of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is concerned with others. A Vaishnava is concerned with the welfare of others. Therefore we preach. Preaching is a form of compassion. Preaching is also the means for, what we say, becoming fixed in one's devotional service. But preaching really is the form of compassion. So to take up the mood of preaching really means to take up the mood of ISKCON. And that's, it is a, this movement is a preaching movement. It's meant to spread Lord Chaitanya's compassionate mercy throughout the world. And it was exemplified by Sri Advaita Acharya. He was so concerned for the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna's love for each living entity is equal. Krishna loves Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvaishas Dinapriya. Explained in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. I envy no one. I'm partial to no one. But those who render devotional service is a friend, and I am a friend in them. So Krishna's love, his concern for all living entities, is like a benevolent and loving Father whose concern is to bring other living entities back to Him. And that bringing them back is to engage them in His service. So one who takes up that service becomes very dear to Krishna, as Prabhupada says. One who takes up the mission of preaching becomes very dear to Krishna. Everyone is dear, but then there's dear, and there's dear, and there's more dear. So everyone's dear. So what does preaching mean? This is another subject. Preaching means to be an instrument to bring others to Krishna consciousness. It's not a particular formula for activity. It's a mood of one's spiritual practice. It's a mood of one's spiritual practice in that one performs their devotional service as an offering to the Lord and as a service to others. Whether it's painting or cooking or cleaning, one can preach in any capacity as long as one is doing it as a service to others, to inspire others, to uplift others, to directly connect with others in devotional service. So, Advaita Acharya. There are so many pastimes, I don't know. We'll try to end the class on time because I know yesterday was Sunday, so everyone is probably a little... the Monday blues, yes? Or trying to catch up from what you didn't do for the last 2 days. That's usually the case, right? But there's another beautiful pastime. When Lord Chaitanya was invited to come to someone's home, he always brought at least 10 sannyasis with him when he was invited for lunch. He would generally come with others. And usually he would bring his sannyasis with him. So Advaita Acharya was thinking, I want to invite Lord Chaitanya to my home, but I want to worship him exclusively. I don't want anyone else to come. So in his heart and mind, he was praying, my dear Lord, please come, but don't bring anyone else. Of course, he never said that directly to the Lord. So he performed this, he prepared this tremendous feast for Lord Chaitanya, and then he invited Lord Chaitanya to come. So Lord Chaitanya was coming, and all the other sannyasis were about to come. But after they all started to leave their house, Lord Indra, the demigods are always subservient to the will of the Lord, usually, there are some cases where they haven't been, and they usually get some reaction for that. But Lord Indra, he just created this torrential rainstorm. And it was raining so hard that the other sannyasis couldn't come. It was just torrential, except for where Lord Chaitanya was. There was just a few drops. So Lord Chaitanya easily came to the house of Advaita Acharya, and the other sannyasis weren't able to come. And when he arrived, Advaita Acharya was so happy. And then he sat Lord Chaitanya down and started to serve him. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, I can see that by your desire, Indra has performed this activity. In other words, Lord Chaitanya understood that Indra's rainstorm was the desire of Advaita Acharya. So he was pleased to accept Lord Chaitanya. There are so many pastimes, but I'm not going to spend too much time. Today is a very, very auspicious day. It says if we honor and serve Advaita Acharya very nicely on his appearance day, only then can we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya on their appearance days, as is coming up very soon. Within another week, less than a week actually, on the 7th, I believe Lord Nityananda appears. And so, this whole week is a very powerful week. Tomorrow is Bhishmasmaka. What is it? Bhishtashtami is pronounced? Something like that. Yeah, anyway. We glorify Grandfather Bhishma Dev. And then the day after, I believe it's Madhvacharya. And then Ramanujacharya, Varaha, Dwadasi, Ekadasi, and Lord Nityananda. So if you're tired, forget about it. It's a whole week of celebrations and honoring great, very great souls. All these personalities are very, very worthy of our devotion, time, and energies. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, all the way in the back. Anybody? Abhuta Hari Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to ask you, Maharaj, if possible, you mentioned that it is not good to give some judgment when two persons are kind of in disagreement. But it seems also equally kind
great
of
great soul. And when you'll great. See this kind of going back and forth by great souls.
But if we are asked, for example, as a third person to judge, that also kind of seems kind of dangerous.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do you have any personal realizations what to do in that regard?
I stay out of it. Yeah. Just like if you see two sannyasis who are maybe disagreeing with each other on something, if you take the side of one and another, maybe say two spiritual masters who are, you may not understand what is going on fully. And therefore, because of seeing things from a limited perspective, to try to make a judgment may be a cause of, you know, of an offense. So usually in that case, someone who is also within that category can make some kind of judgment. But generally, we stay out of it. It's better. It's safer. This is verse that's mentioned in the sky. When two great souls are finding some disagreement, both may be right. So when we come in there and try to find right and wrong, we're wrong, because both are right. They're just presenting things from different angles of vision. And so it explains that actually, what is the quality of actually a great soul is that he differs from other great souls. What is that called? Asthita Dimuni, is that? Yeah. So, better to stay out of it. That's my realizations. If you're really interested, ask someone else to judge for you or make some comment. Because in Krishna consciousness, you'll find that there are angles of vision on the same point, and it's not that it's wrong, it's just a different angle of vision. So when we start saying right and wrong, then that becomes somewhat material. Because Krishna, what is that verse? From the Mahabharata, Mahajano Yena Katasapanta, what is the first verse? What is that? I know the devotees know this. Tarko Pratishta Sutidam Ribinam. Then what's the next line? To parasyahai. Third line. Mahajano yena katasapanta. Yeah. That truth of the religious scriptures are hidden in the hearts of the self-realized souls. So if you want to know the real, actual, that's why we have 12 Mahajans. And the Mahajans also, they have their, they understand the truth of religious principles. But the way they apply them may be different according to time, place, and circumstance. Shishi Radha Gopinath Kija. So that verse really gives the understanding that by hearing from self-realized souls, we can understand the path of devotional service. But that may differ according to time, place, and circumstance. Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question. I need your opinion and suggestion regarding Shiva.
Shiva.
Like, Shiva, yeah. Doing good deeds for people. And how about the organ donation for recycle? Is it considered to be okay, good or bad? Like some people have a vision that it is not good to donate organ. God send you with the body, limbs and all. You know, like sometimes eye donation, lungs donation. There's so much scarcity of organs. People are waiting in line. Is it okay to donate the organ? I personally believe I want to hear from, so that I can promote myself also to a lot of people, so that after we die, instead of taking the body with us, we can donate for the good cause. What do you think about that?
That's the toughest question I ever got. How to understand. The question is, we want to do good for others. So, is this a way we can do good to others? There's so many ways you can do good to others, materially. Obviously, this isn't a material consideration. There's nothing spiritual about this. I think it's up to you. I think it's up to you. I think if you want to promote some kind of welfare work for others, you should see that really the greatest scarcity in human society is lack of God consciousness. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to say that there's only one lack within the world, God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. So if we really want to do something for people that is lasting, because anything material, anything you do material, doesn't last. And then we don't know whether what that activity will bring auspiciousness or not. Just like sometimes a person may get sick, but that's God's arrangement for that person to get sick, because there may be something they can learn from that sickness that will help them in their spiritual life. So it's not bad, because it's been arranged for that person to benefit from some kind of apparent calamity. So how do we know what is good or bad when we're on the material level? What's good for one person may not be good for another person. So therefore nothing is really clear on the material level. One thing is clear on material level. We give people prasadam. We give them food, which is not material anyway, it's spiritual. So we do that in order to help people, because they need food, but at the same time they get spiritual food. So if we want to do something within the context of helping people in that area, then we can distribute Krishna prasadam. Are you married? Yes, as a grihastha, one of the main duties of a grihastha is to share your food with others, or to arrange for to prasadam to be distributed through some kind of donations like that. That would be wonderful. But so many other things we can do. You know, better to help people on the spiritual platform. That's lasting. Thank you. Yes, Mataji? There's another question here.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class.
Nothing I do is nice.
Thank you.
Someday, maybe I hope something will happen nicely. I have hope, anyway.
My question is this. Many devotees are suffer like anything, and preachers are busy in preaching and all these other activities. But as a duty of senior, what is the prime duty of, means preacher is preaching or maintaining devotee?
What is the prime duty of a preacher? To preach or to maintain the devotees? Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Maintaining the devotees means... What do you mean by maintaining devotees?
Sometimes a devotee needs some love and affection and guidance. Mm-hmm. But seniors are very busy in their activity. But can't give them time.
You'll find that one who is concerned about others always has time for whatever comes up. We can't say, well, I should do this and not do that. We should do both, according to how best we can do both. So to take care of the devotees is devotional service, and it's very important. And to preach to the people in general is also important. And I see that those who are preaching are trying to do both. Because we can't say, well, this is important and that is not important. They're both important. So how best you can manage to do both, do both. If someone comes up to you and says, Maharaj or Mataji, I have a problem. I need some help. You say, well, I'm a preacher. I only preach to people outside. No, you can't say that. Wouldn't be. You would be concerned to help them. You notice, you know, here's something interesting. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that those who take individual time and care to counsel devotees are much more effective than the platform speakers. He says the platform speakers, you can just speak in general. But when you actually sit down with someone and actually enter into their life in a real way, you can make a difference in that person's life. So he makes that distinction in the sense that it's more effective when we do one-on-one, because we actually can take that person into our life and make a difference. Of course, both are necessary, and we do both. But he shows that caring for individuals is really important, very important. And it's also preaching, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Advaita Acharya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhimanandi Hari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.